Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Join Jaguars General Manager Gene Smith and your host Cole Pepper as they break down the last Jaguars game and look at the next time the Jaguars take the field. We'll also take a dip inside the Gene Pool to see what makes a player stand out at his position. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Barbecue, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith begins right now.
And we welcome you into the first installment in the 2011 season. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, Cole Pepper here. Some new and some not so new with the show this time around. Not so new. Same as last year. Here with the GM. Gene, how are you tonight?
Doing great.
Been a hectic preseason, I know. And now with a Thursday opener of the preseason, it kind of makes this a hectic week. And so there's a lot going on right now, not only here but around the National Football League. But let's kind of give folks an idea of what they can expect with this show this year. Just like last year, you can join the conversation via Facebook. Go to facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. You can post your questions. Just follow it up there in the already growing thread that we have begun. Joe Fortunato will be dissecting for the very best questions, and then we'll have those out on the show today. And we'll have plenty of Jaguars talk and talk about the NFL as we always have. There are some things that are different this year, though, with this show, as mentioned. For one, there will be less Pittsburghese spoken on this program. Of course, Vic Ketchman has taken the job up in Green Bay, and right now he's feeling pretty good about things because it's nice in Green Bay this time of year. We'll see when Thanksgiving rolls around how he's feeling about it. But it'll be Gene and I. We'll have a chance to enjoy things. You can also join us on Twitter if you want to pose a question for the general manager. Just at Cole Pepper. It's the best way to do it on my Twitter feed there. A couple of interesting features I think you're going to have some fun with. One is the Gene Pool. And, okay, yes, play on words. Joe and I love that sort of thing. But we're going to be talking about the makeup of specific positions in the NFL. Gene, and this is something that we'll do after the bottom of the hour, but maybe give fans a little bit more insight into what you look for out of a player, not just height, weight, and speed, but a little bit more than that.
For sure. We have position specifics that we evaluate in each position, and then also what we call critical factors that are common to all players. And certainly there's certain things that certain schemes and certain coaches want, and certainly as a person in player personnel, we want to assure that we're acquiring the best of what we can get our hands on to make our team and give our coaching staff the competitive advantage.
We'll also have a new feature called the Scout's Eye, and this is sort of about the unsung player, not the star of the game. Of course, we don't have a game last week to look back on. We'll look back on last year as a general rule. But every time we have a show on Monday night following a game, whether it was a preseason game or a regular season game, it'll be a chance for you, the listener, to use your scout's eye and see if you match up with what Gene is looking at as who the unsung player. The guy really did something particularly well or several things particularly well, but who didn't get the recognition of the game ball or the highlight and the, you know, maybe didn't have the big stats, but did something well. And so a chance for you to join in on that. We'll do that this week. Starting next week, you'll have a chance to participate. We'll actually have games to do that, but we'll do that here in just a bit. But that's going to be kind of fun. In fact, as we were talking about the show this year, sitting in Joe Fortunato's palatial office just a few feet away from the studio, and you started talking about it, I thought, well, this could be a lot of fun because everybody knows you get the quarterback or the guy who catches the game-winning touchdown or sacks the guy to clinch the game. But football is a team game, and there are always those guys who do the yeoman's work who sometimes get overlooked.
That's correct. And from my perspective, I would say it would be a scout's eye when we talk about unsung player performance in a particular game. And I do have a player from the scrimmage Saturday night I would mention.
Okay, good. Well, we'll get to that as well. Scrimmage was a lot of fun. As always, great crowd, over 15,000 there in the stadium, and we had quite a bit to enjoy and watch. All eyes certainly were on the quarterback. We'll get to Gabbard here in just a bit. But I do want to take a little bit of a further step back and talk about the offseason. And I've said this to several people when I've been at the out of season. Of course, no off season. Thank you very much. Joe has that's the first time. The out of season activities. It was no off season for you. You guys had the full extent of free agency and planning for it and so forth. But right at the end of the year last year, you said these things. We'd like to sign a safety and draft a safety. We need to address the linebacking position, and I'd like to draft a quarterback. As I'm looking at what you accomplished this offseason, you signed a safety and drafted a safety, you addressed the linebacker position, and you signed a quarterback. Almost couldn't have gone more to script. I mean, looking back on it now, did everything just fall right into place where you wanted it?
It did. Certainly there's a lot of luck that plays into it. I think you make your luck by how you prepare, but a lot of things have to work out, and the stars aligned, and we're happy to be where we're at right now with our roster.
I don't want to spend too much time, you know, rehashing things that happened months and months ago, but with the draft and then free agency that was, as it turned out, not months and months ago, just a few weeks ago, you were very active. Both you and Wayne Weaver, Jack Del Rio, all saying this is going to be a pretty active team. I'm not sure if people actually believed it going in. But you signed Paul Posluszny, a guy who, if there ever was a Gene Smith kind of guy in free agency this year, he just fits the mold, doesn't he? I mean, just a hard worker, productive. Just if somebody would say, oh, yeah, he's actually Gene's long-lost nephew, I might have said, okay, yeah, sure, I can see that.
Well, the thing about some of the guys that we targeted, we did a lot of work coming out of college, mm-hmm. and so you build a relationship there. But, you know, he was playing in a scheme in Buffalo that was, you know, 3-4 scheme, and the scheme that he really excelled in was a 4-3 scheme. If you go all the way back to college when he played Mike linebacker, he is a guy that's is physical at the point of attack. He does have burst. You'll see his ability to run down plays from the middle. And you got to have a Mike linebacker that can make the plays that he should make, and then some extra plays also. But we'll have a couple guys inside to be able to keep him clean, and he'll be able to play downhill and go get the ball.
He also looks like a guy who wears his – he walked out to practice before August the 4th when you could when they could participate. We walked out there, and I thought he had shoulder pads on underneath his shirt. I mean, he is really put together.
Well, he's a guy that has always taken care of his body. He's a lot like Campman in the fact you got to be careful because guys like them will overtrain. Donovan Darius is another guy that comes to mind. Greg Jones, guys I've been around, you know, for a good bit of time. That's what Paz is like, and that's what Aaron was coming in here. So we have other guys in the locker room like Paz, but when you bring up him as someone that's built well, you can tell that he takes care of his body. In season and in the out of season, I mean, that's really what you're looking for, someone walking into our locker room new, because that will be something that will have a good impression on people, his teammates. So he's all in.
And you also signed a guy from within the division who a lot of Jaguars fans will be certainly familiar with the name, if not the performance, but Clint Session, the linebacker. Tom Coughlin used to always talk about addition by subtraction. I'm not sure if that's necessarily was part of this equation, but the Colts lose a guy who was, you know, one of their very productive players on defense.
He was very productive. It was unfortunate the season he had last year with the elbow injury, but he's healthy now, and he's a guy that always played well against us. He's an explosive player. He's a passionate player. Mm-hmm. And he brings speed. He was a mid 4-5 guy coming out of college, so with the addition of him at Will, which is his best position if you're playing to his strength, Paz at Mike, he brings speed, but Mike is his best position, so that plays to his strength. And certainly Darryl has been outstanding at the Sam linebacker position, and that plays to his strength. So you have three guys playing to their skill sets, which will enable us, I think, to clearly make more plays in our defense.
Right, we've got a couple other free agents I want to talk about and get your opinion of, and guys on the defensive side of the ball in particular. We'll do that here in just a bit. We'll also talk about some of the rookies. Our Scout's Eye unsung player this week. Looking back at the scrimmage, who was somebody who really stood out? We'll get that from Gene here coming up in just a bit as well. You can join the conversation once again, Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars or Twitter at @ColePepper. And already some good questions coming in for the general manager, and we'll get to some of those when we come back. This is the season debut of Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, live from Jaguars Central, the season debut of the program. Cole Pepper here with you. You can join the conversation, Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars or Twitter at Cole Pepper. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Injury update now brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. A couple of Jaguars dealing with injuries. David Garrard with a back injury. Day-to-day at this point, Derek Cox has been fighting off a calf that did not participate in the scrimmage. And Kevin Haslam, a backup guard, knee injury sustained during the scrimmage, and he tweeted today that he's likely headed to IR. So an unfortunate blow for Haslam, a young player who I know that a lot of folks like to, as far as a developmental guy, a jar on the shelf, as Vic used to call him.
That's correct, and it's unfortunate. He's worked very hard in the out of season, and then he came into training camp, fought through a couple things, actually started putting a couple practices together, and then had the knee injury. Hopefully things will work out for the best, so he'll still have a future in the NFL. But again, it's unfortunate.
All right, shall we get to some of these tweets and Facebook comments here? Let's go with on Twitter. This being tweeted from a listener. What's going on with Cecil Shorts? Draft pick, wide receiver, showed some good things early in camp. How's his progress?
He did show well early on, and he has a soft tissue injury. And we're being careful with 90 players in camp. It has enabled us with this lockout period and certainly with some of the soft tissue things that we have to not get guys out there that aren't 100%. And, you know, I think you'll see that around the league, the first preseason game, because of the roster number being 90, I think they'll be a little bit more conservative. And I think it's a smart thing to do because of the unique year that we're in. But he's got a lot of things that have looked good so far. You know, he's got an innate ability to run routes, so he knows how to set up defensive backs at the top end. He's very confident catching the ball. He really hones in on the ball and has natural hands. But, I mean, he's got some details certainly that he can improve upon and learn how to convert his routes versus coverage at a higher pace, because it'll certainly change when you get into regular season games. It's pretty vanilla in the preseason, but he has shown some very good things thus far.
You know, and again, from a radio guy's perspective who spent some time around the game, he reminds me, has some things that remind me of what we saw out of Jared Dillard in his first camp. Very polished guy, obviously has spent a lot of time working on running routes and being precise and that sort of thing. Looks like a wide receiver. I mean, doesn't look like an athlete playing wide receiver. Not to say he's not an athlete, but he looks like a wide receiver.
He really does, and he looks like an NFL wide receiver. Yep. I mean, he is built well. And he just does a lot of things natural. And usually when a guy does a lot of things natural and things look easy for him, adjusting for the ball, you know, that's usually an indicator that he has an NFL skill set.
Coach's son and went to the same college, Mount Union, as a guy who Peyton Manning has brought along pretty well. Was it Garcon?
That's correct.
He went to Mount Union as well. So certainly there's some background as far as how he has done. As far as the, you know, where he played and the competition he played against and who's come out of that school.
Right, and he's also got a teammate here who's a tight end, Kyle Miller, an undrafted tight end, long snapper, whose dad was a backup quarterback up in Cleveland at one point. So it's probably nice for both of them to have a teammate here going through some of the rookie trials and tribulations. So it's been a good situation.
And we've got more questions coming in on Facebook.
Well, thank the folks too at CopyFax for sponsoring all of our social media questions as we get social with CopyFax, handling all of our tweets and Facebook questions. This on Facebook from Naman, Gene. Are there any surprise players that have impressed you that we don't hear about in the news?
Well, I mean, there's a number of receivers in that undrafted group. I know we just talked about Cecil Shorts, but when you talk about, you know, Newsom and Ellingson and Inman and Benz. And Benz, it's unfortunate because he's got a little bit of a soft tissue thing. He's not been able to be out there like Cecil. But that group has been probably the one position group that all of those guys have done well. I mean, there's certainly some defensive backs that have shown well for the undrafted guys. But I would say the receiver group have certainly taken advantage of their opportunities.
You have not cut a guy who you've drafted. This is such a competitive roster now. I got to think that streak's probably going to end this year.
Yeah, I believe that would be an accurate statement, Cole. I mean, you want to keep the best players, and you certainly want to be patient with young players mm-hmm. who haven't defined who they are yet in terms of being an NFL player. But we are getting to the point now where less rookies will make our team. And, you know, I think you made a valid point there that there'll be the possibility of some, you know, former draft picks cut.
All right, let's talk about some of the guys who were signed. We were talking about Paul Posluszny and also Clint Session, but Dewan Landry at safety. I loved his quote when asked, did he play more free or strong in Baltimore? He said, whatever Ed didn't want to play, talking about Ed Reed. But I guess he's probably more of a strong safety type by nature, is he not?
He is. He's played both, but that's an accurate assessment. He's very aware. He has a good feel for underneath routes. He's a guy that's really had a nice career in Baltimore. We're happy to have him here because he fits the profile too. And he's got a brother up in Washington that's a pretty good safety as well.
Yeah, and runs in the family, I guess. So you've got Courtney Green, who's also more of a strong safety than a free safety. Chris Przinski, more of a free than a strong. I know he's battling a little bit of a ding as well. How do you get to juggle that? I mean, do you just say, all right, let's get as many good safeties as we can, whether it's free, strong, whatever else, and then let it work itself out during the season?
I think you do. All three of them, though, have played both positions. But, again, I think your assessment of their skill sets and playing to their strengths is accurate. Landry and Green's probably more in the strong safety mold. Chris is probably more free safety. I mean, here's a guy that's high 4.3, low 4.4, that's 6'1.5", 210 pounds, intelligent. And all three of them have a good awareness for safeties. But Chris, again, we're being smart. You know, he had a soft tissue injury. We feel like certainly he's got some of the things we're looking for on the back end. And so we have three guys that so far in the limited exposure we've had have shown well.
And the other veteran move you made in the offseason was bringing in, this sort of happened almost under the wire as everybody was getting things started with training camp and so forth, but Drew Coleman brought in, who had some very impressive numbers playing with the Jets last year as a cornerback.
Yeah, he's a good fit. He's come out here and moved around well, and he's got good feet, he's got good hips, he's got savvy as a nickel-type player, so he has a good feel for routes and route combinations, which you got to have if you're going to play inside. The ball's on you quicker, so you got to have the ability to think quick, and you have to have short close ability to break an underneath route. So we feel like he's a good addition. He was the third corner up there with the Jets last year on a good defense.
Yeah, very good defense, in fact. All right, so those are some of the veteran guys who were brought in. We'll talk about some of the rookies. And also time now for the scout's eye. Let's unfurl it here, Gene. From the scrimmage, who was the guy who caught the scout's eye, who was the unsung player on Saturday night?
Will Rackley.
Will Rackley, there you go, another rookie.
He's called Rack, you know, by his teammates. He played well at left guard in the scrimmage. Certainly he's got things like all these young players have to continue to work at, but he made a good first impression, and I'm very happy for him because he's very businesslike. He's played through a little bit of an ankle, and he's got position versatility. So to come in and perform the way he did, when you got a defensive tackle aligned tight on your nose, and the guys at this level can play with leverage, they get an explosive first step, is a lot different than lining up at left tackle in college where you got more space and you don't have the power out of those right ends that you have inside. So I'm very happy for what he did in the scrimmage, and I'm certain in his mind he's not satisfied, and the arrow is up on his play.
I have already heard from some of his teammates they've been impressed with his toughness early on as a rookie. All right, that's what was that?
Oh,
that was the scout's eye. Okay, like the eagle eye. I'm following it now. All right, the scout's eye, and every week you'll have a chance to win. So keep an eye on the game Thursday night, and we'll see if your eye and the scout's eye have the same perception of what happens on the field. Hey, become part of Jaguars Advantage, the new Jaguars fan loyalty program. With Jaguars Advantage, season ticket owners can earn up to 15% cash back at hundreds of their favorite online retailers. For more information, go to JaguarsAdvantage.com. Back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith right after this timeout, including our first dip into the gene pool when we come back right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, live from Jaguars Central. Reminder that tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton will be in with the head coach. And on Wednesday, when the fellows are flying up to New England, I'll be back in this seat all by my lonesome, trying to find something to talk about for 2 hours. You think maybe after the entire offseason of not having any shows and not having any practices and everything, I've got a few things stored up that I may be able to unfurl in 2 hours of Jaguars this week on Wednesday. We may bring a guest or two in here from time to time as well. That's on the Wednesday from 6 till 7. And on Thursday, of course, the preseason opener, 4:30. We get things started with the Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show and kickoff at 7:30 from Foxborough. Time now to investigate the gene pool. Our new feature this year, the gene pool. We look at the makeup of particular positions. This week, we'll start with the defensive end position and work our way through the roster. Average height, weight, speed from a defensive end coming into the National Football League now, 6'4", 268. Of course, you can have defensive ends in 3'4s and 4'3s and guys who use more speed. And so it's a pretty varied position. 4.76 is the average 40 for a guy coming into the league at the defensive end position. That's the average. But what are you looking for ideally out of a defensive end?
Well, really, coming out of the combine, it's 6.033, being 3/8 of an inch. So 6.033, 268. And at the combine, it would be 4.85. Now, there's guys that run faster, and that's the times you have, mm-hmm. like at their pro day. Sometimes right. they'll run on a rubber composition track, which is an ideal surface, a fast surface, versus the field turf that they have in Indy. And then the guys in the league are 6.037, you know, the sevens for 7.8s. So if you like them, they're 6'4", like you said, Cole.
I like them all.
275 pounds, running 4.86. Now, again, there's time speed and play speed, and there's some players that certainly play faster than their time speed because of their instinct awareness and really their anticipation. They get a jump on things that other players don't. So usually if there's a player that does not play to his time speed at defensive end or really at any position, there's usually a mental processing issue because most guys that have good instinct and awareness, if they run a certain time, they'll play at or appear faster in live games.
All right, so those are the measurables. How about the non-measurables? What do you, you know, what do you look for? Personality type, bill, approach, or whatever else you look for in a defensive end?
Well, I think defensive line, let's say, it's one that you got to have very combative attitudes in that position group, because I think the toughness on your team starts with your defensive line. So you want some rugged, tough, highly competitive individuals. Now, the right end might have a little bit different personality. That's more of a true skill position. That's a speed, quick, flexible athlete. And sometimes there's a little bit more finesse to their game. They're not the run defender like the left defensive end. And, you know, he's usually matched up against a guy who's really a skill position player in the left offensive tackle. When you look at defensive line, you're looking at a 4-3 scheme here. So You have the right end, who I just described, and then you have really a one technique, a guy who plays in there like a nose tackle, which is Terrence Knighton, who munches blocks. And then the three technique, who's one-on-one more, in Tyson Alualu, that's more of a penetrator, a one-gap type guy who has to mismatch that guard. Because usually the right guard on offense is the least athletic player on the field. So he's got to take care of that matchup there and take advantage of it. And then the left end is really playing against a power run blocker in that right tackle, very similar to the right guard in terms of the run game. But he's got to be someone that can anchor against the run, because most teams are more right-handed. You get more right-minded play callers in the NFL with a right-handed quarterback. And certainly he's got to be somebody, too, that can create some rush. But where you're trying to get mismatches is really at the right-end spot and at the three technique. But again, you try to create mismatches wherever you can, but in the base front, that's usually where you're going to get most of your pressure.
All right, so we'll wrap up the Gene Pool's first installment here with a question that I'll leave somewhat open-ended, and that is, who's the best? Talking about defensive end, who's the best going now? Who's the best you ever scouted, the best you ever saw? Who's the best defensive end?
I'd say Dwight Freeney may be the best player in the NFL right now, it's just purely rushing the passer. Mm-hmm. The surprising thing about him is he's got an explosive hump move where if you feel as a tackle you can just set wide and run this guy upfield, this guy will run right through you. So he sets you up sometimes to where you're jump setting, you're getting a little high in your stance, and then he just makes his move and rocks you right back into the quarterback.
And he's proof positive. You don't have to have that average height or weight. He's, 6'1", maybe 6'2", something like that, and maybe 260, certainly not in the 270, 280 range.
Right. He can play underneath a kitchen table, and he's a guy that ran high 4.4s, low 4.5s when he came out. I wouldn't say he runs that now, but he's still a legitimate, maybe high 4.5, low 4.6. I think the other thing that makes him an exceptional pass rusher is his snap anticipation. He'll get in rhythm, and if it's a young quarterback that doesn't change up the snap count, this guy will really have the advantage on a left tackle.
All right, that's the Gene Pool first installment. That give you a little better idea about what the scouts are looking for, what not only is the average, but what is maybe beyond the numbers with the defensive end. Next week, we'll tackle the offensive tackle position. I'm sure there are several guys right now who are happy to hear you call the left tackle a skill position. Some big guys in town. I'm sure Baselli somewhere is going, yeah, see, that's, yeah, skill position. That's right. So that's the Gene Pool. All right, we'll take time out. We'll come back, take a look forward at the next, at the Thursday matchup against the Patriots. Also, a couple more questions and inquiries from Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, or if you want to Twitter a question, you can do so at Cole Pepper, and we'll sift through the best ones there. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, live from Jaguar Central, right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, Cole Pepper here at Jaguar Central. You can join the conversation, whether you would like to, at Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars or via Twitter at Cole Pepper. By the way, I will tell you that on Wednesday night, I'm going to go ahead and say this now, just kind of a little tease here. Tune in, because I'm going to tell you how to... I'll put Joe's wife on the air. No, I'm going to tell you how to work the system when it comes to Jaguars tickets, where you can actually wind up basically getting paid to have Jaguars tickets. I'm going to tell this is your tease. For people who don't even, maybe they don't like football, okay? But this is, I've figured out a way. It's totally legal. And I'll just use this comparison. The U.S. Treasury was trying to sell these $1 coins that they had, these $1 coin, gold coins, and, or golden colored anyway. And so people were buying with their credit cards that were getting all these miles. They would buy like 100,000 $1 coins. They'd get the coins. They put the coins in the bank. Then they'd pay off their bill with the $100,000 that they just put on their card, and they get all the frequent flyer miles or the points or whatnot. Totally legal, and they're a game in the system, basically. it's not exactly the same approach, but the same kind of thing. I've got on Wednesday night, tune in because I'm going to tell you how to, Clark Howard would be happy to hear this, how to basically get paid to be a Jaguar season ticket holder. Huh? This is my that's what I got coming for you on Wednesday. In between now and then, you can call 633-2000, and you can still have the tickets. It'll still work fine if you've already purchased your tickets. But it's just a way. I've ran the math, did the numbers, and found out this way. Joe will like this. Joey will really like this. All right. A couple more comments coming in. One on Twitter here from CP, not me. Derek Cox injured again this preseason. Is that going to cause him to have a bad start? Injuries affected him last year. Same situation with Derek Cox?
No, it's a soft tissue injury, and we're being smart. Again, we have a number of players in that category. Let's just put it that way. He came to training camp clearly as good or better than any point since he's been there, at least in my eyes. And I'm very optimistic that he'll have a great year. It's not a foot. He had the foot last year that he tried to play through. This is something that, you know, we're certainly being conservative with.
And some more questions here on Facebook as well.
Yeah, this is from Daniel. Gene, what's your evaluation of the wide receiver position so far? Thanks and go Jaguars.
Well, great question, because a lot of people, I think, wonder about how our wide receiver group is going to be. And I like to talk about it as a receiving group, incorporating the tight end and running back position, because when you look at the receiving group, we have an opportunity to truly have some playmakers emerge. But going back to the outside, Mike Thomas has shown he can be a clutch player. He's quick and fast. He's very instinctive with the ball in his hands as a receiver, as a returner. Cecil Shorts has come in here and made a strong impression for someone that I feel very confident will help this football team. Jason Hill's had a little bit of a slow start. I think the fact that he's coming from the West Coast, like some of the guys do on our football team, if you don't partake in our OTAs, which you weren't able to do this year, there's an adjustment with the heat. And I feel like he's made some vertical plays, and he'll continue to make more. But I think he would tell you there's a lot more that he will show in the preseason. Jarrett Dillard has come back from his foot in a very strong way. He looks quicker on his releases. He's shown more burst in the stem of his routes. He showed well in the scrimmage the other night. But the four of those players from that position group have certainly shown enough that we feel like we can get good play. And then there'll be somebody else, and I don't know who it is at this point, that will emerge. It may be two guys that may emerge. But I would say those are the four to this point of training camp that have shown the most promise to be able to really help us on game day.
And we're a long way off from final cuts, obviously. And I'm not going to ask you to name this, of course, now, but if I said, who are the final 53 going to be now, how similar or different would it be when the season opened on September 11th? I mean, how open is it?
Well, I think there's probably in the neighborhood of 6 to 10 guys that I think are in heavy competition for some of the bottom of the roster spots. I do think special teams will definitely play into it in a number of them, just because guys who can get in the game day 46, because it's actually called the game day 46 this year versus the 45 with the change of the rules. You know, if they can get on special teams and perform well, certainly it goes into their ability to make a 53. And I feel like we've got a number of players that are at hot spots in this roster that these preseason games are key for whether they're going to make this football team or not. So it's a very competitive situation for a number of players on this roster, not just rookies.
Let's look ahead to Thursday night's game. Every week here on Jaguars Monday, we'll take a look ahead. This is a shorter look ahead because we're playing on Thursday rather than a Sunday game. But let's look at the Patriots and what you expect out of the Patriots on the field and kind of a general overview. I mean, this is a team that in the offseason made some big splash kind of moves. Chad Johnson slash Ocho Cinco, whatever you want to call him, and certainly Albert Haynesworth is one that's going to get a lot of people's attention.
He sure is. They're doing some things, from what I understand, to play more of an even front. So we'll see some 4-3 out of them, I'm sure, with Bill Belichick. They'll be doing some 4-3 and 3-4 things. So it'll be a good test for us. I know, like, defensively, they weren't on par to where they've been in the past a year ago. They're trying to add some players, do some different things with their scheme on that side of the ball that I think will be a good challenge, a good test for us.
And, of course, a team that has been one of, if not the top team in the AFC over the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years, whatever you want to say, with New England. And the stability, of course, comes from the coach-quarterback combination that has been there. They have had a lot of change, though. I mean, I don't know if people notice the kind of change that has happened over the last 5, 6 years. Their roster has really, it's almost completely turned over the last 5 years.
No question. I feel like, you know, we're one of the teams that has the arrow up, and I'm probably a little biased. But I can tell you this, when you look at New England and you look at Indianapolis, I mean, they got two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks, so they're always going to have a chance to be good. And I know their emphasis has been on their defense this year, and I know they've acquired some players on offense, too, to help Tom Brady out. But, again, it'll be a good test to start our preseason with.
And if you think about the connections between the Jaguars and the Patriots all time, certainly you go back to 1996, the AFC Championship game, January of 97. That second year, Jaguars beat the Patriots in the playoffs here in 98. They've had, you know, the playoff game up there during the Patriots' undefeated season that was so close for the Jaguars getting a win there. And, of course, the other tie would be Fred Taylor going from Jacksonville and signing with New England to close out his career. There are some interesting little points of history between these two teams, for sure.
There definitely is, and I'm excited to go up there and see how some of our new players stack up. I'm talking about the rookies in particular, because I don't know how much Jack will play some of the other players. That's certainly his call, and I trust his judgment. But I'm excited to go up there and perform well and then come back here and get the fans a good taste of what this season's going to be about.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing it as well. For all those folks who felt like they missed so much during the offseason with the lockout, which, by the way, all you missed was maybe seeing some shots of guys in OTAs and maybe coming out to a practice or two. You didn't miss any games? You don't have to worry about that. The games start on Thursday night, 7:30 for kickoff. We'll be on the air at 4:30 with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. The Jaguars and the Patriots. Gene, thanks a lot. We're off to a good start this season. We'll look forward to talking to you before the game on Sunday and or on Thursday and then again on Monday.
That'll be great, Cole. And I just want the fans to get behind this team because I think we're going to do some special things.
That's the general manager, Gene Smith. For Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. And good night from Jaguar Central.